things that have come out of, I forgot my pen, so I couldn't write them down, so I'm going to say them while I can remember. A couple of things that came out of those two talks that I'd like to say. One is that I was at a conference at the Scottish Government recently where they were talking about values and behaviour change. And one of the things that struck me was that there are loads of sociologists and behaviour change people talking, and they were going through a lot of projects and talking about a number of things that it struck me that we in the arts have been doing for the last X years. Because, of course, what we do in the arts quite a lot is seek to change people's behaviour. If it's simply getting them off the sofa to the show, out of their homes to do something, actually that widening access and widening attendance at the arts is quite a lot about behaviour change. That's one thing which may come up again later. The other is, this is partly an answer, a partial answer to what you were asking about the creative practice and so on. It does seem to me that one of the big mistakes that's been made in the climate change world is that it's been operating in a bubble. And I'm not talking about you here, I'm talking about the climate change negotiations in Copenhagen and internationally. I went to the Hagen COPs, and one of the things that was really obvious there was that there were a lot of people talking about climate change as though the rest of society and the rest of development of the world and people's development, a lot of the things that Lucy was just talking about there, did not matter and weren't part of the discussion. And actually, when you do that, I think it becomes really quite tricky, because climate change is intricately and intimately connected with all those other things. So, when Erica was talking about the festival, there is a connection, it seems to me, between climate change and that collaboration and all the things, the ways in which you're talking about, Erica. It may not be immediately apparent, but I think it's there as well. I haven't anything more to say on that, but it just might be worth having. I'll move now to my proper place. It does seem to me that what we're talking about is behaviour change. Because without significant change, and I wasn't here yesterday either, but I think you heard some of the hard facts of the real challenge that we're facing in reducing carbon emissions and changing our way of being, I think. We're not going to achieve that without changing our behaviour, legislators' behaviour, organisations' behaviour to a very, very significant extent. So behaviour change is what I'm going to talk about a bit. True, and I don't know whether I've taken the brief right. None of the work that I'm going to show you is anything to do with me. It's work I've experienced. And the first one is Guernica. I think that's how you pronounce it, by Picasso, which is an extraordinary. If you haven't seen it, it's worth cycling to Madrid to see it. You go into this room in the Reina Sofia Maria Museum, I think it is, and for start, this picture is enormous. It's the size of, good half this wall. And you go in, and there are people standing there, largely silently, for 20 minutes looking at a picture, which I don't think I've ever experienced in an art gallery before. But they just are overwhelmed by the power of it. And it evokes pity, compassion, anger, I think, and horror. It's an extraordinary work. But I don't think it stopped carpet bombing in the Second World War. I don't think it stopped the horrors of the Spanish Civil War. I don't know. There may be people in the room who know better than I do. But what I do know is that when you're there, you go and have this extraordinary experience, you feel, you emote, you feel that horror and that anger, and there's nothing to do with it. You go to a cafe, you have a talk with your friend or your spouse or whatever, you sit amazed, but there's nothing to do with that emotion. There's a lovely scene in Mother Courage, when Mother Courage is very furious, probably about her son being taken away by the army, and she goes to complain to the general, and there's a young soldier there who is also angry. And she watches him burn out his anger, and it peters out, and he goes away with his tail between his legs. And she says, the problem with you is your anger, it's not long-lasting enough. You can't keep it going. And then she does exactly the same. She says to the general, actually, I didn't really bother to talk to you after. And that I think that's a big problem. A great piece of art can be powerful, political, but quite often I think it doesn't bring about the change that we want, and I'm going to ask why not. So there is a great piece of art that I think has not failed, but I don't think it's necessarily bringing about the change we want. Behaviour change. The interventions that seem to work tend to address three areas: the individual, the social, and the material. I'll get a bit technical here. Individual means you're changing the attitudes of individuals to encourage them to change their behaviours and their choices. So you're trying to persuade people to become greener, to change their travel choices or whatever. The social interventions work on the social norms, the cultural conventions, and shared understandings of social practices. And the drink driving thing is a really good case in point here, because 20 or 30 years ago it was acceptable to drink and drive, and now largely it's not. There's a big change that's taking place. So it's harder as an individual to drink and drive because your friends, the people around you, disapprove. And thirdly, the material. That's working on the objects, the technologies, the infrastructures, and those can be organisation infrastructures as well as built ones, that enable and constrain ways of behaving. And there's a very good example in curbside recycling. If a council provides curbside recycling, people do it, whether they're green or not. And if they don't provide curbside recycling, even quite green people don't bother. It's just as simple as that. It makes a difference. And most of the recent research shows that you have to act on all three levels in order to get real change. Individuals find it very difficult to change their behaviour, even if they switched in their mind, if the social norms around them don't let them. We create our identities by the groups that we belong to, the groups that we want to belong to, the clothes we wear, and all those things. We find it very difficult to fight against that, both in ourselves and in society. So unless you flip the switch in people's heads and you change the social norms, it's very hard. And then, as I say, if the physical realities aren't there, then it's very difficult even to make that change if you want to, for those two reasons. So successful change happens when you act on all three levels. So now I'm getting to the art. I thought I'd look for some examples where I think this has happened using the art. It's a great play, Arthur Miller's All My Sons. I don't know it terribly well. We may want to get onto this earlier. I have a theory about why Arthur Miller is very good at mapping his stories onto the idea that he wants to explore very accurately. And there's an awful lot, I think, of in my experience, political theatre that doesn't quite get that right, and it's a bit sort of blurred. So with Arthur Miller, you're watching the story and the idea is burning its way into your soul. Whereas quite often you're watching the story and you're watching the idea at the same time. It's quite difficult to do, but we can talk about that later if we want. I saw a production of this show, not the one in the poster, but at the Lyceum in Edinburgh, Royal Lyceum in Edinburgh. It's a fantastic production, and I came away morally outraged. I was filled with a desire to change the world, like when I looked at Guernica. But I was very lucky because I was giving a speech a few days later at the annual conference of Voluntary Arts Network Scotland. So I had an outlet, and I hung on, unlike Mother Courage, to my anger and my fury. And I threw away my script, and I used it. And I have to say, I think I gave a great speech. It was terrific. And I made other people angry in the room, and there was a great barney about it. And I asked them, really, they were talking about access. And I was concerned there was a whole world of people that actually the voluntary arts chooses not to touch. We can get into that argument later. We think we're doing great things, but actually we miss out on an awful lot of people. But here, the art really did operate on me individually. It flipped the switch in my head, and I was able to act upon it. I was able to provoke change. But I think that's really unusual. Most people are not, most of the time I'm not, at a show one night and then giving a speech the next. I thought next I'd try to look for an example of art which has changed social norms. And I'm not going to apologise, it's not possibly the art that you might expect me to talk about. Live Aid. It was a long time ago. Since then, the very phrase something aid has gained meaning. Live aid, gift aid, band aid, all those things, they weren't what we now know them to be, whatever it is, 27 years later. And whatever you may think of that song that echoes in our brains every Christmas or whatever, it galvanized action and it did change social norms. People who hadn't known anything about famine in Africa now do know about it, and they act upon it in a big way. The art perhaps doesn't seem so important in a long way, you know, long time afterwards, but actually the people who were performing, the people who were making the art there, were artists. They were greatly appreciated for what they did. But it seems to me that the structure of the event also meant that it addressed social norms. It was deliberately designed to do that. It changed social practices. Geldof and Co, they used the art. They used it in such a way. They placed it in a context that made use of it. And I think that's my real point. I think it's really difficult for art on its own to make the impact that we need. It may make an impact on the individual, like it does at Guernica and it's me. But that's very hard to translate into action and change. And what is needed, I think, is working with art. And I think this is quite a connection with what Eric was talking about, although we haven't discussed it, she may disagree. To put it into a context where it can be acted upon by the individuals who are changed by it. Now, I don't know what that might be. In Guernica, maybe they need a room. There's a bit of sort of contextual stuff around Guernica. Maybe they need a room at the back where you can go and write your MP or press a button and join a group or sign up to something. I don't know what it might be, and those are fairly naff examples. I think it is rather easier when we're talking about a community that we know, so that you can act on the people of Newcastle Gateshead. In Scotland, we can act on it's again a relatively limited community that we're working with. So I think there may be something that we can do in our more local, but still significant numbers, communities of people. And we need to work on changing social practices as well. When I got to the works of art which have acted upon the organisation or organisational physical structures, I came up with a blank screen, because I think it's really hard, actually. I did wonder whether the English stage company, now the Royal Court, and whichever play it was, and somebody may know, that prompted the end of the Lord Chancellor's right to censor and ban plays, might have been the work of art that changed certainly the organisational structures. And I do wonder, actually, whether the Royal Court and the Traverse and one or two of those other early new writing theatres, the very buildings, the fact that they existed, made the writing boom that's happened since the 50s or whatever, take place. I wonder whether I'm focusing on the Royal Court. I wonder whether Max Stafford Park at the Royal Court and his focus on women writers made it possible for, and made it possible for women writers to be seen in the way that they are now. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. Somebody out there may have a better example. But one area, I think, is architecture. Architecture does do it, and there are one or two architects in the audience, I know them personally. And maybe we need to think like architects, because architecture considers the use of the object as well as the object itself. It can be worth spending more carbon and more money on a building, because you build it over a year or 2 years, but then it's used for the next 50. And actually the way in which buildings are change the way people behave in them. So maybe we need to think a bit more like architects in thinking, how does the thing I'm constructing, whether it be a visual art piece or a theatre piece or whatever, how can the audience use this? If we do that, then maybe the art that we make will be able to make the changes that we want. When it comes to organisations, I think we need to think of our artistic institutions, and I think this is what you're doing, but I don't know. And certainly it sounds like what's happening in a way in A. I think over the last 20, 30 years, there's been a strong focus on artistic institutions, organisations, as artistic organisations and financial organisations. And sometimes we forget the social institutions that they are. But actually, certainly any arts building of any size is also a social centre. It brings people together for encounters. West Yorkshire Playhouse, South Bank Centre, both of them in their mission statement put the community before the art, interestingly. And that may be the case for other places. And they're both very successful artistic institutions, but they, Jude Kelly writes about the South Bank being a place for encounters. Ian Brown at West Yorkshire Playhouse talks about it's being the hub of a thriving community. That's how they place themselves first. So the discussion at this conference, I think, is mostly about the making of art, but I believe that equally important is the way in which we use it. If we ignore that, our art may be great, but the change that we need, as I talked about at the beginning, won't be sufficient. Thank you.